here in this place. It just makes you feel good just to go back and enjoy and reminisce a little bit and think about the old days and the good blessings that we received when we were here. But I want you to open your Bibles today to the first chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. And is it on? Yeah, it's on. Got it. Got me on, Brother Mickey? Okay. Boy, I really enjoyed that fiddle song that Megan did this morning. Wasn't that a blessing? Boy, I tell you, I'm not a musician, but she never missed a note. Not one note. Megan, you just absolutely super good. Amen. And you're pretty too. All right, verse 1 of the first chapter of the book of Isaiah. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heaven, give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. And the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even under the head, there is no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devoured it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is abomination unto me. the new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evils of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widows. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye will be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. God is speaking to the people of Judah in this scripture, but it sounds like to me that he's talking to America. Let me just give you something here. Did you know this was a poll taken some time back? 25% of born again believe that all religions are basically the same. Well, that is false teaching. 50% believe that a life of good works will enable a person to get to heaven. No way. 35% do not believe that Jesus rose physically from the dead. 52% do not believe that the Holy Spirit is a living personality. 29% believe that it is possible to communicate with the dead. 33% accept same-sex unions. 45% do not believe that Satan exists. Well, that pretty well tells you where we're at today. So, God, I think that God today could wipe us off and be just in doing what he does. But that's not the God that I'm preaching this morning. The God that I'm talking about says to a gainsaying world, to a people that's lost and going to hell unless they get saved by the grace of God, that God says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Scarlet is something that has been double dyed. Yet God says, your sins may be double dyed, but he says, I'll make them as white as snow. Isn't that wonderful? That's the God that I'm preaching today. That's the God that I want you to trust today. That's the one that loves you. That's the one that died for you on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, I tell you, it's so wonderful to know that we have a God that reasons with mankind. He's not obligated to do it. He's not obligated to save nobody. He's not obligated to hear our prayers. He's not obligated to do any good thing for us. But oh, I want to tell you this morning that God is so good to you and I. He loves us so much that He sent His only begotten Son into the world to bleed and die on Calvary's cross and suffer the agonies of the cross in order that you and I and everybody could be saved by the grace of God. Oh, what a God we have this morning. What a Savior we have. God reasons on the basis of man's lost soul. God reasons on the basis. No profit in rejecting. The lost man is already condemned. He said, you're condemned already if you've never been saved by the grace of God. Oh, that's so sad today. The majority of the world, well, you heard it there. The majority of the world doesn't even believe that Jesus got up out of the grave. I'm telling you today that if man does not believe that Jesus arose from the dead, they're not saved. Oh, the Bible says that man is already condemned in John chapter 3 and verse 18. It said, man, whosoever believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I am simply saying to you that God reasons on the basis of man's lost condition and lost soul. God reasons on the basis of what man receives in salvation. Oh, I remember the day I got saved. I was a lost sinner. I was headed to hell, had no hope, lost without God, without hope in the world. But I'm glad that I can tell you today that Jesus' blood cleansed me and made me acceptable in the sight of God. Oh, what a Savior. He gave me peace and rest. In Matthew 11, 28 and 29 and 30, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, because I am meek and lowly at heart. Ye shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to tell you this morning, if you've got a troubled soul, you've got a troubled spirit, I can tell you that God loves you, and He loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son into the world to bleed and die on Calvary's cross in order that you and I could be saved by the grace of God. Boy, that thrills my heart. I could just be in favor of turning out recess and just have a shouting spell. Amen. Because God has done so much for you and I. He gives us peace and He gives us rest. Oh, I can lay down on my bed at night, and if I never wake up in the morning, I'll wake up in glory. You got something better than that? Bring it on. If you can't do that, I'm going to keep this. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you today, it's wonderful. Not only does He give us peace, wickedness has no peace. The world that's in wickedness today, they don't have any peace. The Bible said over there in Isaiah, he said, the wicked are like the troubled sea. It cannot rest. It casteth up the mire. That's the way people are that's lost today. The world today is trying to find something that'll give them some peace. And brother, it's right in the book. If they'll come to Jesus, I'm glad I can tell you today that Jesus will give you a peace that you'll never desire any other. It's wonderful. Not only does the wickedness have no peace, the upright has peace. The Bible said in Psalms 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the wicked of iniquity. He said, because they're going to be soon cut off. The wicked is going to be cut off one of these days. But boy, you and I that are saved by the grace of God, we've got something to look forward to. We've got great joy unspeakable and full of glory. I don't know of anything greater than that. Thank God. Believe the believer has something to rejoice about. The Bible said in Romans chapter 5. Let me turn there and read a verse or two of that. This is so wonderful. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. He listened what he said. Therefore. When you see that word therefore, you try to find out what it's there for. Amen. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Peace. He said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. The world can't give you no peace. The world can't give you any holiness. The world can't give you any righteousness. This whole world is concerned about what they can get. Get all you can. Can all you get. And then sit on the can and burn the rest. That's what they say. But I want to tell you today, listen to what he said. By whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's what he's saying. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Ah, what a deal. What a deal. So, my friend, God reasons on the basis of man's lost soul. God reasons on the basis of what man receives in salvation. And God reasons on the basis of man's highest level. What do you mean, Brother Ray? Unsaved are living defeated lives, broken and crushed by habits and lust. That's the way the world is living today. And they are in bondage. Christ frees man and gives him a life of liberty. What about that? I was enshackled with sin. I was shackled by the devil and by the power. I could not break myself loose. I could not cleanse myself. I could not lift myself. But hallelujah, on that glorious day, that Jesus broke the shackles. Jesus forgave my sins, washed them away, and saved me. And I've been saved ever since. Did you know there's never been a day that I haven't had the Holy Spirit living in me since 1939? I've been enjoying His loving presence every day since I've known Him. He's real, folks. He's not a fantasy. It's not a make-believe. It's genuine. And brother, when Jesus saves an individual and comes into your heart, changes your life, makes a new creature out of you, I'm going to tell you, you've got something worth living for. And God reasons on the basis of man's duty. You see, it's man's duty to do what is right by his fellow man. But it's man's duty, but it's man's highest duty to do what is right by God. Man's first sin is against God. You see, it don't make any difference what you do with some individual. You might be on the outs with some individual and you go to that person and you get the outs fixed up and you're all right. You say, I'm all right. No, your first obligation is to get with God. You see, you can't get nothing right unless you get with God. God says in this here, He says our sin, man's first sin, is against God. Therefore, one owe it to God to repent. Did you know that's the reason why that Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent. Are you listening? I'm saying, folks, unless we repent, we shall all likewise perish. You cannot get to heaven until you repent. I'm glad that I heard the truth. You know, there's so many people. I read this thing here. There's so many people that don't have the truth. 25% born again believe that the religions are basically the same. That's not so. Religion. There's every kind of religion in the world. But that religion is not going to get you to heaven. Religion will take you to hell unless you repent and get saved by the grace of God. 50% believe that a life of good works will enable a person to get to heaven. I asked the lady one time, I said, are you saved? And she said, Lord, I say. She said, I've been saved 3 times. Oh, I said, you need to pray for me then. I ain't been saved but once. You don't get saved 3 times. You don't get saved 2 times. If you're saved, you got saved 1 time, and that is forever, and it's eternal, and it's everlasting. God don't do business halfway. When God saves you, He does a good job on you. And if you got some bad things, maybe you got the wrong thing. You got the wrong religion. I'm simply saying that God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you and hath forgiven me. When we come to Jesus as a helpless, hopeless, hell-bound sinner, when we come before God with that kind of a condition, you're getting in a good shape to get saved. Amen. And then you say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. But that preacher said, you love me. And I want to tell everybody under the sound of my voice this morning, I'm telling you, sir, ma'am, lady, man, if you come to Jesus, He'll save you on the terms of the gospel. This is the way you get saved. You don't get saved by doing good works. No, sir. Then I want you to see something else. The Bible said in Acts 17:30, God hath commanded all men everywhere to repent. Hey, He said in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we are saved. Neither is there salvation in any other. No one else. It's Jesus or hell today. God reasons on the basis of setting an example. When one decides to become a Christian, he will influence others in that direction. Somebody's watching your life. Did you know that? Somebody is watching your life. And your life will influence somebody else for Jesus or for the devil. I want to live a kind of a life that I'll influence somebody in the right way. Amen. Because he not only will save himself from hell, but he will be the means of salvation to others also. And then last of all, God reasons on the basis of an honest investigation. You say, preacher, you think that we can know that we're saved? One can know. Let me give you some scripture on that right there. Because that's very, very important that you know that you're saved. In John chapter, the first epistle of John. The first epistle of John, and chapter 5 and verse 10. I'm going to read several scriptures down through here. I think I could quote it, but I want to read it to you. He that believeth on the Son of God. Now listen to this. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now look at verse 13. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm glad I know that today. I'm glad this precious old book tells me exactly how I can know that I'm saved. Let me ask you a question this morning in closing this message. Do you know for sure, 100% sure, that if you were to die today, that you'd go to heaven? You say, well, I think I would. Better have better than that. God said, these things are written that you may, what? Know. That you may know that you've got eternal life. I'm telling you, you can know. And if you don't know, it's a pretty good evidence that you don't have. And I'd like to invite you in a minute to come and get on your knees. And when you leave this house, you know for sure, by the authority of the Word of God, that you're saved by God's grace. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the Word of God. You said, come now and let us reason together. Oh, what a loving reason. Precious, caring God that you are.